If you're a Christian this evening, we want to, don't we, let our lights shine in this world. The world is full of darkness. The world and especially our society and our culture seems to be going the wrong way as far as, you know, adhering to God's law and God's word. And we know the further away we go from God's law and God's word, the darker things, in that sense, the darker things get. Do we want to shine like lights in the world? In Table Talk magazine a couple of years ago, 2018, John Bloom wrote the following. What makes us as Christians the light of the world? Now, how are we, or what makes us as Christians the light of the world? It is not mere words, but also our works. The works we do in Jesus' name bear witness about us. Our outward, observable, public works make who we are and whose we are manifestly clear. That's what Jesus is saying here in this section of that Sermon on the Mount. You know, he uses the illustration of a city set on a hill. So in those days, especially major cities, to help fortify them, they would build them up on a hill. You know, nowadays you're driving along and suddenly you come to a city or a town. You know, you see the big green sign and the name of, you know, the big 50K sign and then the name of the town maybe underneath it. But in those days, you know you're coming up to a city because you see it up on the hill. You can't hide a city like that. Same in a dark room, you switch on the light or you light a candle and you can't hide that candle. Not in a dark room. And so our calling as Christians is to be like a light, like a city on a hill, so that the world cannot but see that we're Christians. And so today we want to be reminded that light is shown in what we do, in our good works. James, I suppose, backing up a little bit what John Bloom, dovetailing on the gospel, on James, the writer at the end of the New Testament, who writes, you know, let's not just be hearers of the word, let's be doers. Let's be those who do the word, not just hear. And so that's what we want to look at today, these good works, so that we might truly shine. I want to look at just 2 points this evening. 2 points. Firstly, the meaning of good works. What are they? And we'll try and investigate what they are. And then secondly, the result. And so we'll try and focus on this verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, but we'll go throughout scripture a little bit as well. If I can give just a simple definition of good works, it would be good works are those done by Christians according to God's commands. That's what the Westminster Confession of Faith is trying to point out in that first section. As I mentioned, the first section is we're going to do good works. They better conform to the Bible. They better conform to God's will. And secondly, in that second section, the Westminster is saying they're going to be done out of a heart that loves the Lord, a fruit. It's going to be the fruit of a heart that's been changed by the grace of God. And so I want to look at just those two parts and just unpack them a little bit and see what Jesus is saying about those two parts. Firstly then, good works are done by Christians. They're done by believers. Verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. You, this you, later on we see as well in verse 14, you are the light of the world. And then again in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine. Who is he speaking to? Who's Jesus speaking to? Well, if you go to verse 1 of chapter 5, when Jesus is about to start what we call the Sermon on the Mount, seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, who came around him to listen to him? The disciples. So the disciples, if you can picture it, you know, Jesus is sitting on the mountain and his disciples are kind of sitting around him, I suppose. Now that could have been the 12, or no doubt, you know, at one stage there were 72 as well, which he had sent out. There would have been 12 were apostles, but others would have been there as well as part of the greater circle of disciples, if we can say it like that. But the point is, Jesus is speaking to them. The crowd are sitting there as well, listening in, but he's speaking specifically and first and foremost to them. And he says to them, you disciples, you followers of me, you are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world. And your light is to shine in this world. That makes no sense if he's speaking to unbelievers. I mean, for sure, they can take some of these, the Sermon on the Mount, many of the truths of the Sermon on the Mount, if they take these in, it would be good for them. It would be profitable. But the point is, we cannot let our light shine if we do not know the Lord. Because if I can say it like this, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because then we don't have light. If we don't know the Lord, we don't have light to shine. Which is why also he says at the end of verse 16, and as you let your light shine, you will give glory to your Father. Those who don't know the Lord and those who are unbelievers do not have God as their Father. Unbelievers can't do what we would call good works. Now, it is true, many unbelievers do many wonderful things, and many of them put us to shame by their deeds of kindness and mercy. That's true, isn't it? We look around the world and we see people who give their lives for the sake of others in many wonderful ways. They give generously, maybe monetarily. They give of their time. And we've somehow or another, somebody's got hold of our telephone number, and these people keep ringing up soliciting money. I don't know if you've had that lately, but man, we get so many phone calls lately. And a lot of these charities that are ringing, or people ringing on behalf of these charities, they're good things. You know, they give a spiel about it, and you try and button, you try and tell them we're not interested, but they keep going. But you start to listen to it, and they're good, wonderful things that people are doing for others. And many people give to that. And there is a sense where that in itself is a good thing. So I'm not saying, you know, we can just, you know, because of the fact that they're unbelievers, well, it doesn't really matter what they do. We just don't care about what they do, and it must just all be rubbish what they do. No, that's not at all. Lawyers, if I can say it, lawyers, believers and unbelievers, they want to maintain justice. Doctors want to heal people, whether they're unbelievers or not. And so in many ways, these things are good. But if they're to be good and commendable before God, they must be done by a believer. Now, we did see a couple of weeks ago, oh no, last week actually, but Cornelius. Remember the story of Cornelius? So Cornelius is, you know, he was giving alms to the poor. He prayed, and he was devoted to God. And there was a sense where some of this, at least the work, was commended by God, because God said, you know, this is I've seen your works. It's come Acts 10 actually says it's come as a memorial before God. But still they come from a heart that is unbelieving. It's not done for the glory of God, and is not necessarily done in obedience to God. And so they cannot be classified as good works, which are pleasing to God. And so the good works must be done by a believer. And then secondly, good works must be done in accordance with God's commands. And this is really important, because, you know, we can do all kinds of wonderful and good things out of the intentions of our hearts. If we want to know what perfection is, what is good and right in this world, where do you go? You go to the one who is perfection. You go to the one who has the perfect law. You go to God. His law is perfect. It is light to the eyes. It is the path on which we must go. For anything that would be classified as good, it must come from his standard. Because we can come up with laws or with ideas that are wonderful in and of themselves. At least we think they're wonderful. Wonderful intentions. But if they're not commanded by God, or not in conformity to God's law, they cannot be good works. You know, throughout the history of the church, throughout church history, you have the church often has imposed on its people the need to do certain things. We read about some of that in Colossians chapter 2. where people are called to submit to regulations. Don't handle, don't touch, don't taste, don't eat this, don't eat that. Don't get married and do all, and all those kind of things. Now, the intention might be right and good, but it doesn't come from God's law. In fact, people can do terrible things, terrible crimes, and think they're doing it for God. John chapter 16, verse 2, when Jesus says, there's going to come a time when people are going to hand you over to the synagogues, and they're going to put you to death, and they're going to beat you, and things like that, and they're going to think they're going to do it, they're doing it for the Lord. There's a story of Saul and the Amalekites. Saul was commanded to destroy the Amalekites and everything that belonged to the Amalekites. And Saul went out and he defeated the Amalekites, and he came back, and Samuel came to meet him. Saul said, "Samuel, I've done what you've told me to do, what the Lord has told me to do." And Samuel said, "What's all the bleating I can hear and all the mooing I can hear?" And he said, "Oh, we kept the very best to sacrifice to God. And what did God say? I don't want your sacrifices. I want obedience." Obedience. He wants the obedience of his children. And obedience is living according to God's laws. Practically, what does this look like? Well, there are two parts of that as well. Firstly, we do works that are directly commanded by the Bible. So, Scripture reminds us and tells us and commands us to pray. Scripture commands us to worship. Scripture commands us to give to the poor. Micah 6 verse 8, "He has told you, O man, what is good." This is what is good. "What does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God." With your God, sorry. Simple commands. We're called to do them. And they need to come from his children. But there's also, if I can say, general good works. So there we have the good works we do that are not specifically commanded, but they are implied. And as somebody has said, well, as actually 1 Timothy verse 4 to 5 says, sorry, 1 Timothy 4 verse 5 says, "Everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." You see, there are some works we do, there are things that we do in this life that are not directly commanded by God, but are sanctified by the word of God and prayer. In other words, you could say, well, they're not necessarily evil, but they're not necessarily directly commanded by God, but we can engage in them, and they're good to engage in as we bring them before the Lord and as we bathe them in prayer. 1 Corinthians 6, 12 reminds us, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And later on in that chapter we read, "You are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." We're called to do certain things, and we can live out our lives in this world, but we do it for the glory of God, and we do it bathed in prayer. So eating and drinking, we're not commanded to eat and drink, and yet they can be good things and good works for us to do. And even in our eating and drinking, we can bring glory to God. Even in our eating and drinking, we can shine our light. There's a tradition that I grew up in, that at the beginning and the end of every meal, we pray, and we'll pray before, we'll pray after, and then we'll read the scriptures after as well. Every meal. And part of that comes from passages like this. Even in our eating and our drinking, we can do this for the glory of God. All of life is lived for the glory of God. And so we go out and we do our work, whether that's on the building site or in the office or at home changing nappies and whatever it might be that we're doing, we can do it all and shine our lights. You see, we don't have to We don't have to think, you know, good works are only things like prayer and worship, and that's the only way we can shine our light. No, we do it in our everyday living as we bathe all these things in prayer and give them over to our Lord. So good works are really, in many ways, all of life as we give our lives over to the Lord and for His glory. So good works then are those done by believers and done according to God's law and will. But secondly then, the goal or the end result, the result of good works. In our passage, of course, we have it very clear and very plain as we do our good works, as we do get these good works, we're shining our light. As we do that, what happens? Well, men, people see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. People see us. People see that we live differently and they glorify God. Now, that doesn't mean that we walk along the street and everybody says, wow, I mean, that's a Christian. Now, we might walk along the street the same as somebody else is walking along the street and nobody can tell the difference. We might be at our workplace along with an unbeliever and at times people, I mean, we're just doing the same things. We're in the office and we're doing our jobs diligently, just like our unbelieving colleague is doing his job diligently. But as people start to look into our lives and start to think about what is driving this person, and there is something completely, utterly different that drives the Christian. It is our devotion to God, and it is our love for God. And so then we display it in our love for our neighbor. And so these good works, they bring glory to God in that way. But the rest of Scripture as well speak about how we bring, what happens as we shine our lights. Now I want to classify that into three parts, and I've kind of just taken these three parts kind of throughout Scripture, so it doesn't specifically come from this passage and I'm not being exhaustive here either. But I just want to look at it into three parts. Firstly, as we live our lives, as we do our good works, as we show our light and shine our light, we show thankfulness to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. As we're called to give up our bodies, as we're giving up our bodies, this is our holy and acceptable sacrifice to God. This means we give ourselves, we sacrifice ourselves, and so this is a thanksgiving, a life of thanksgiving to what God has done for us. When we see what the Lord has done for us in Jesus Christ, we ask ourselves, how then should we live? How then should I live? You know, we thank God, right? We thank God, we come together in church, we thank God, and we sing His praises. We thank God in our song, but we also thank Him as we talk, as we live. We live as Christ lived. We live using our bodies, and we as expressions of our thankfulness to Him. And as we do so, we become more and more conformed to Christ. As we thank God, as we think about what God has done, as we live a life of thankfulness, we become more and more like God wants us to be. Be holy, God says, as I am holy, 1 Peter 1, verse 5. So we become more and more like the Savior. So one of the goals, one of the end results is thankfulness to God. But secondly also, one of the results is actually a care for others. Sorry, I should say a care for ourselves. A care for ourselves first, and we'll look at the others in a minute. But a care for ourselves. So thankfulness to God, but also a care for ourselves. Now, this might seem selfish, but somebody asked me the other day, is it okay to feel good about something that we've done right? Is it okay to feel good about doing something right? It's an excellent question, very good question. Now, on the one hand, we know the danger of pride. Look what I've done. You know, like I've just done this. I hope everybody else saw it, what I've done. Now, sometimes children, we do that, don't we? We want to do something nice for somebody and we hope mum and dad are watching. And we kind of do that as adults as well, but we don't, we're kind of not quite as maybe expressive of it. But that's pride, and of course that's wrong. But I think there's more to it than that, because when God created Adam and Eve, he created them to do what is right and good. Now sin ruined that. But there is a sense where you need to ask yourself, you know, as Adam and Eve were doing that which was right and that which was good, did they feel good about it? Yes, of course they did, because it was right and it was in the presence of God, and they wanted to do this for the Lord, and they wanted to do it with the Lord, and they wanted to do what was right. So there is a sense where the Christian will feel right and good about doing what is right. And it's good because it delights God. And it's good because we love what is right and what is in God's commands. And so it should be something that feels good. But also, as we think about that, we realize as we start to do good, the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives. It's a sign of assurance. Sorry, it assures us. You know a tree is alive when it's starting to blossom at this time of the year. Well, most trees are in full blossom now, but you know, 2 or 3 months ago you looked at a tree and you think, oh, I don't know. Well, you kind of know it's dormant, so hopefully in the spring it will start sprouting. But now you see the life, and as the Spirit works in our lives, and as we see the fruit, as we seek to conform ourselves to the Lord Jesus, there's fruit in our lives, and we realize the Spirit is at work in us. And we realize that we've been, yes, regenerated. We're assured of our regeneration. We're assured of our justification, our adoption, our sanctification, all these things that we've been making our way through in the Westminster Confession of Faith. So, in other words, as we do good, as we shine our lights, it's in a sense, it's a care for ourselves as well, isn't it? And then finally, so it's a thankfulness to God, it's a care for ourselves, and then finally, it's also a love for others. As people see our example, we may win some over to the Lord. Really, that's what verse 16 is reminding us of in Matthew chapter 5. So that they may see your good works and also bring glory to, well, it says, and bring glory to God. But I suppose as we think about that there, at least in some sense, people are starting to see who God is, and they're bringing glory, and they're wanting to bring praise to God as well, so that they also might be shining lights in this world. In other words, as they see our example, as they ask us, why do you live like that? What is it about you that is so different? And there's a savor in your life that I want as well. As people are drawn to that, and as they see their need, and as they place their trust in Christ, glory is brought to God. But it's for their eternal good. So as we live our lives, as we live our shining our light, as we're doing our good works, we are showing love for others. And maybe a little bit more on a merely, if I can say that, merely physical level. You know, when people see us doing good, it can prevent them from doing bad. We think about that in societies. You know, if I can say it like this, the more people that are Christian, the more the society will start to conform to Christian norms. Now, that's not always for the right reasons, but it is good for the people that even that aren't Christians. It is good for our society. Of course, we have the flip side as well, don't we? The more people are not Christians and don't care about the law of God, the worse the society gets. There's a story of that, of Jeroboam, in the annals of the kings and the chronicles in the Old Testament. You know, he was the first king of the northern kingdom when the kingdom split, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. So he was the first king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam. And it says, there's this refrain that keeps making its way through the book of Kings, where a king would follow in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, by which he made Israel sin, which is the worship of the golden calves. And there's like this constant refrain. So that's kind of the opposite effect, I suppose, isn't it? Where one man's sin affects a whole nation. And so wouldn't it be great where the good and the right living of Christians would affect a whole nation. And so as people see our good works, as we shine our lights, it is a love and a care for others. So we're called to be lights in this world. We're called to do good works. And as we do these good works, well, and these good works are done by those who are his disciples according to God's will, so important, according to God's will and God's word. And it results in glory to God. It results in a love for our neighbor as well as a love for ourselves and a benefit for ourselves and our society. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of our Savior who lived his life completely, always in good works. And we pray that by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, we would indeed be the shining lights, penetrating the darkness around us. Father, grant us this, we pray. We need this. We need to be able to do this because we, this society, our culture, so desperately needs it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.